Only in Jeff Styles America.
Hey folks, Jeff Styles here. Jeff Styles, spelled with a Y. And you're listening to my podcast currently, and I hope you continue to listen to it for at least some time here. I put a lot of thought into it. I put at least 22 seconds of thought into this one today. I didn't have to put a whole lot of thought into it because the forefront of my massive brain, my cerebellum, my medulla oblongata, my amygdala, or is it amygdala? Who knows what the hell it is? My brain has been preoccupied with a couple of things of late. And it is the things we don't know, or the things that we think we know that we don't know. Only a fool thinks that he knows things that he doesn't really know anything about, but he talks about them like he knows about them, and he thinks he knows, but he doesn't know. Do you understand where I'm going with this? And all of us are fools, apparently, in this day and age. These are the things that popped to the forefront just in the last 2 days. My wife went to see the movie. They had a special showing at her workplace of the movie Harriet. And I admitted on my morning radio show, this is Fred the Podcast, and you find it at fredpodcast.com. The last hour of our morning show at Nuga Radio, where I am employed, is called Fred the Show. It has been Fred the Show for many, many years now. And I admitted on the air that when I was young and in school, I mentioned the fact that we glossed over a lot of history, important history. As far as I can remember, we never actually got in any history class in any grade, elementary school, middle school, or as we call it, junior high, high school. We never got up to World War II, something that really interested me, never got there. We glossed over in favor of boring shit like, you know, the dates of the Magna Carta or, you know, the importance of the Battle of Trafalgar in some faraway nation known as England. It meant nothing to me. And was about dates and figures and numbers, and we had to draw A to B with lines connecting and do these descending chronologies. We didn't get to the interesting stuff. I admitted on the air that when I was young, very young, admittedly, but when they talked about the Underground Railroad, I didn't have this vision of this brave, escaped slave woman marching her way through the swamplands of the South and the eastern seaboard through these brackish waters filled with bull sharks and alligators and snakes, oh my, and then getting there and said, hey, I'm going to go back and get some more. What a great story. They didn't tell that story. They said Harriet Tubman was the chief engineer on the Underground Railroad. And so as a kid, I'm thinking about the local amusement park and the little bitty railroad train that you would get on, and, you know, think of Steve, you know, Martin in The Jerk. You know, he's got the little engineer hat. And I thought they literally had this underground railroad that ran from the South. How could they not hear it? Did it smoke up the tunnels? Could they not follow the train smoke? And, hey, there's Harriet. Get her. No. That's what I had envisioned in my head, and it stayed there until I became old enough to go, hey, that's some serious bullshit you came up with, Jeff. Why did they even call it the Underground Railroad? I don't know, and I won't know until I see the movie. My wife's seen it, I haven't. Actually, I do know quite a bit of Harriet Tubman because I find it interesting. Not too long ago, we had the movie come out starring Queen Latifah in a real star turn as Bessie Smith. Here in our town, Bessie Smith, the Empress of the Blues, looms large as a historical figure, very important. She was the biggest, most important, best-known entertainer in the world. She was the Michael Jackson of her day. People around here never knew the real story. This HBO or Netflix, whatever version that came out, actually told the story of the incredibly intriguing, interesting person, the bisexual, drug-addicted, rough-and-tumble girl that grew up on Ninth Street here singing for change and just swept the world by storm. Why do we dumb down history? The other thing I admitted on the air the other day, it was President's Day just yesterday, and I know you'll be listening to this somewhere off in the future, but yesterday in my time as I speak was President's Day, and I brought up the fact that the same sort of thing, Harriet Tubman, Underground Railroad, choo-choo, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. So as that same young kid, mind full of mush, you know, I literally had Abe Lincoln with his stovepipe hat intact, with a K-bar knife in between his teeth, and, you know, he's got smudges up under his eyes like any good Marine or SEAL would have, and he's crawling under barbed wire, and he's just he's offing guards, and he's going there, and he's cutting the slaves, you know, bonds, and he's going, come on, follow me, and they're going back to the north, and they're like a bunch of Rangers. And that's what I had in my mind, because Abe Lincoln freed the slaves. So I come into work the next day, and I start talking about these things on the air. Not only do I get askance looks from my coworkers, who apparently did not fantasize about these things, but also there were some things that were in the news that day that really disturbed me. This is the actual crux of this particular podcast, what we are teaching our children. Let us start with what we're not teaching our children. I saw the numbers the other day as we observed the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. 70 years after Auschwitz was liberated, really predominantly by the Soviet Army, but by the Allies. And the numbers were astounding to me. Just over half of American adults, this is three and a half generations ago, there are still survivors from Auschwitz on the planet with us. There are people who were actually Allied liberators on the planet with us. We have the photographs. We have the film. And so many people, not only do we have an increase, a spiked increase in anti-Semitism and Holocaust deniers, which is stupefying to me, according to a recent poll, 54%, just a bare majority of American adults could properly identify what the Holocaust was, when it occurred, and what it actually entailed. I'm going to get out on a thin limb here and say that the younger Americans probably threw this average off a little bit. Why would I say that? Well, mainly because so many of the young Americans are real idiots, because their parents aren't teaching them the right things. The schools aren't teaching them the right things. Society is not teaching them the right things. I guess they're learning what they need to survive in their own world, but they're not learning some pretty important things. That was followed, that same gripping, surprising, sad, heartbreaking little factoid about America. Two-thirds of the millennials out there, two-thirds of the people in the millennial age range could not even identify the word and what place it held in history, Auschwitz. When asked, what do you think of when I say the word Auschwitz? Two-thirds of American millennials could not give a comprehensible answer. This is reprehensible. This cannot stand, America. What are you teaching your kids? I'm going to ask a very simple question here. Serious talk. What are you teaching your kids? See, I just repeated myself so it would actually sink in. Do you actually sit down as a family? Do you and your wife, your husband, grandparents, do you ever think, have we talked to the kids about X, Y, or Z? Have we talked about 1, 2, or 3? Have we actually taught them what to do in a given survival situation? Have we told them how to balance a checkbook if they're going to be writing any checks in the future? But just talk about, you know, household finances. That was something my parents were in the banking industry. And I was almost graduated from college before I really understood what balancing a household budget was like, and how to really sincerely balance a checkbook, taking the statements and, you know, doing all this, you know, checking off here, this came through, this did not come through, this is still out there, and getting the right figure. I still am very bad at budgeting to this day, and you would think my family would have shared that with me, but they did not. But I mean, what are you actually teaching your kids? Do you ever sit down and say, ask me a question? What's on your mind? I think you'd be surprised. Now, this is something I'll go ahead and give myself a little credit as a dad, as a father. I had six kids. My oldest is now 40 years old, and they range all the way down to 19. My youngest stepson and my grandson are the same age at 19. And I will give myself a little credit here. I did do that. When we had time in the car, possibly camping around a campfire or something like that, or just sitting around with really nothing else to do, what's on your mind? What were you learning in school? None of them are really in school anymore. My grandson's in college. But, I mean, and give them a chance to ask questions about your history, about American history. Is there anything that you don't understand? Watching a movie, great, great learning moments, you know, come up in movies because they're dealing with historical context. Sometimes they're actually fantasies, but they're based on real history or things that happened in history. There's analogous things happening there with religion. Look at Lord of the Rings and all the religious ties to basic Christianity. And there are several teaching moments in the middle of a movie. Do you ever ask your kids, hey, do you have any questions about anything? Would you like to ask, you know, what is the gross domestic national product? You know, how does currency get traded? I wouldn't be able to answer that one, but I could find it. I could Google it up on the interwebs with the best of them. But I mean, the sex thing, obviously that's a big deal. And I've already mentioned the fact that I literally got all of my kids, each one of them individually, nobody else around, and got in a car doing 60 miles an hour and locked the door so they couldn't get out. But we had the damn talk. What they did with it beyond that, so far there have been no unwanted pregnancies, so I'm pretty proud. But, I mean, I just looked at some of the other things. Just in this morning's news, there was this item about what parents in America in this day and age saw as their big wins, W-I-N-S, the big wins of parenting. Number one was getting their kids to eat their veggies. Wow, what a victory. What a remarkable victory this is for a couple of parents out there, grown adults, who've gotten to this point in their life, and this is their big moment, getting their kids to eat their veggies. Not making sure that they actually understood, you know, a timetable or could actually do simple math problems or could read or write or understand a basic sentence. Eat their veggies. Okay, I got it. Most kids don't like veggies. Hell, I still had to force myself to eat veggies. But still, that's your number one win, followed closely by number two, getting their kids to be quiet in public places like supermarkets. I could care less what kind of noise my kids made. That's somebody else's problem. They could weep and wail and gnash their teeth outside the outer wall of the supermarket or inside next to the bread aisle. It made no difference to me. It wasn't bothering me. I was a parent. I was used to it. Screw everybody else. That's their issue. That was not a big victory for me. It was a non-issue for me, a non-starter. But this is the kind of things that people are focusing on. Kids should know by the time they get into high school what the Holocaust is. They should know what entrenched institutional racism is in this country. They should know what the Me Too movement is all about. They should understand that the president of the United States was successfully impeached. He was impeached by the House of Representatives. It will always be that way in history books. It doesn't matter if you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump. That's what happened. They didn't try to impeach him. They impeached him. The Senate did not remove him from office in a trial setting set up by the Constitution. Do your kids know anything about the Constitution? Do they have any idea what the branches of government are for, what the checks and balances are for? If not, you're sending them out into society with very little information that they're going to need later on in life. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of folks here what they learned from their parents and what they might be teaching their kids. You're listening to Fred the Podcast. I want to say thank you very much to RC2 Realty Solutions, my friend Robin Ring, who's been in real estate in the Chattanooga area for a long time, and she is specializing She is specializing these days in distressed properties, taking a piece of property that you have from crappy to happy. That's simple enough. Robin Ring, that's Robin with a Y, just like Styles with a Y, the superior Y-spelling folks that we are, with RC2, RealtySolutions.com. Talk to Robin if you've got a piece of distressed property and you don't want it to be stressed anymore, all right? Tim Kelly, Kelly Subaru, Southern Honda Power Sports, people who have to get out and do things and take their vehicles off-road. They've got boats, they've got four-wheelers, they've got all kinds of off-road vehicles. Of course, Subaru, some of the best vehicles in the world. Tim Kelly, KellySubaru.com. And, of course, my friend Brett Moldenhauer. I call him Dr. Brett. He would be quick to point out that he's not really a doctor, but he is a specialist in acupuncture, and he is wonderful at what he does. And he also is one of the proprietors at North Spring, the cryotherapy center, where you go into a cryo chamber if you'd like. They do acupuncture there. They do massage. They do yoga. They do all kinds of things. But the cryo chamber, you go in, Your body is taken down to a remarkably cold temperature for just a couple of minutes, and it rejuvenates you. You cannot believe how much it rejuvenates you. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you to all those people who support me. We want you to subscribe to this podcast too. FredPodcast.com, JeffStylesAmerica.com, and any place where podcasts are released.
Only in Jeff Styles America.
Okay, Jeff Styles here doing Fred the Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, listening, whenever you are, wherever you are listening. If you're listening, I love you. I love you seriously. I really do. And I need you. And subscribe if you can, because I need money as well. I need this gig. And talking about the things we don't know, the things we do know, the things that we might know that we're not teaching our kids. Here's a crash course on how to learn some stuff about America. Go to some place that's not America. I highly recommend it. You would be amazed at what you will learn about your own country by going to another country. You know what you'll learn by going to Germany, by going to Austria, by going to deepest Mexico City. Any of these places that actually have school systems and their people are fairly intelligent and educated, you will learn that Vietnam really wasn't about us. Vietnam was about the Vietnamese people wanting to be independent. It wasn't about us at all. I've already kind of mentioned this, but the Soviet Union, that was what primarily defeated Hitler. They lost 20 million people, you understand that. We were heroes, there's no doubt about it. Don't get it confused, but the rest of the world sees this as an Allied victory led by the massive waves of humanity that the Soviet Union provided. Native Americans had lots of problems before we got here. As a matter of fact, plague and disease had been brought here by early explorers well before the colonists got here. It doesn't make the Trail of Tears any better. And the American Revolution, it wasn't that we were just so tough that one-third of the American population really wanted to be independent, and they just whipped the ass out of those Brits because one good colonist could whip the hell out of 20 Brits any day. No, they were fighting a war against France at the same time, and that kind of took their attention because it was right there, and we were way across the pond. These are the things, kind of things that you'll learn when you actually talk to other people. Now, some basics. I have a couple of people in here in the studio with me right now. Jason, who is my producer for the podcasts. I call him the Argonaut. And Pimp Jen, who is actually my boss. So I'm always walking on thin ice when I call her Pimp Jen, but she does sell me. She sells my ass on the streets. So therefore her nickname. Pimp is a mother of two young girls. Their ages are what, Jen?
Their ages are 20. She just turned 20 and 16.
These girls are very attractive.
They are.
Very pleasant, very nice. They've been raised right. Have you ever taught them what to do if a man puts their hands on them in a way that they do not want? Have you ever actually taught them simple self-defense or signed them up for classes?
Yes. We took a self-defense class. The three of us did it together a couple years ago. We should have gone back for more. I learned in that class very quickly that my oldest daughter, who's petite, tiny little girl, 20 years old now, she could kick your butt. She will take you down. I learned that my 16-year-old, pretty good, not as good as the older one.
Sensing the confidence.
I suck. I am horrible. If I'm ever in a situation, I would not know how to defend myself. However, I have done everything I can to teach them how to defend themselves.
This is basic stuff. It really is. And most women are going to find themselves in this situation probably at some point in their life. I'm not being lighthearted here. I think the most important thing is to always think about this. Even if you're a guy, you don't want to get into a fight with somebody who likes to fight. They don't care. B, people who are constantly bullied know that they'll survive. That's another tough road to hoe right there. But here's one thing you can take this to the bank. You can't beat a berserker. You can't beat a berserker. When somebody is so angry that their eyes roll back in their head and they start grabbing and clawing and reaching for your eyes and ripping at your ears, an ear will come off in your hand in a heartbeat. You can't beat those people. They feel no pain. And even if they don't feel the berserker rage within them, they can fake it and make grown men step away. Because what are you going to do? What kind of encounter are you going to have with this person who's going off like a Tasmanian devil is going to rip your eyes out? I mean, that's so top of the foot, stump, groin, knee, eyeballs, claw, poke, ears come off. Mm-hmm. Any other solar plexus, strongest guy in the world can't build up a solar plexus. Pound that thing.
One of the things that the instructor taught us was to ear clap. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Where you cup
box
your
their ears.
Yeah, you cup your hands and you clap their ears.
Eardrums go boom.
Yeah. I had never heard of anything
you
like that.
Can't worry about their pain.
And here's another thing. You taught me this. I'm almost 49 years old.
Don't give away
you
my mood.
Taught me this the other day. You said if you are ever in a situation where you're feeling like you might be hurt and you happen to have a pocket knife or something sharp, point it upwards and go up. I would never have known to do that. I would have slashed.
Hold it like a fist with it coming out this back end.
Yeah, the backside.
And punch. Right. You don't want to go stabbing like you've got a toothpick. Because,
right.
I mean, I could take that blade in my hand, close my hand. That's an ouch. You'd not have that blade anymore.
I think I didn't grow up with any real kind of father figure. I just didn't. My mother was married, but the person she was married to really was not like my dad. And so I never learned any of that stuff.
Look at Jason. Jason has a pocket knife like every American man and woman should have in their possession. Pocket knives come in handy for a lot of things. Jason, demonstrate to her how you would hold a knife if you were actually going to try to do harm to somebody.
Right.
Thank you. Do they see that knife? No, they don't. If you're going,
and you've got the blade facing upwards.
Yeah, and you just start punching, and they're going to get you. They're going to get a piece of you. You're going to get a big old chunk of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and anybody can take a couple of cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some time, and it takes some meanness to stab somebody over and over again. You carry that knife because of why? When did you start carrying a knife?
I've been carrying them for a while, but it's always for packaging for me. I've always got to open up something.
But, I mean, they come in handy. Did your dad teach you how to, let's quote Bocephus here, Hank Jr., country boy can't survive. Did your dad or grandfather, any male father figure, teach you to skin a buck or run a trot line, any of these things that we consider survival mechanisms in the South?
Yeah, I learned all that. And, of course, too, in scouting, I learned even more. But, you know, my family, we lived on the farm, so they taught me how to do all that.
Another thing that is in the... whatever you want to say. It's on the map today as far as news topics go is the sad, heartbreaking news that the Boy Scouts of America are filing bankruptcy because of sexual abuse and attack situations and allegations, and they're going to be out millions of dollars. And that's sad. We were talking about scouting just a little bit ago and the fact that it just gives such needed information to kids, especially from broken homes, especially from homes where dads work two jobs, moms are in charge, she works two jobs, and they're not getting this, come here, son, let me show you something, kind of education that we had when we were young. Here's how you shuck an ear of corn. Here's how you snap beans. Here's how you clean a fish. Here's how you clean a squirrel. You know what? You'd be glad to have a squirrel in a given situation. Go 3 days without eating and tell me you wouldn't eat a squirrel.
What about how to balance a checkbook? What about car insurance? What about registration, your tags? What about how to change your oil? I realize this is all car related, but these are things that I didn't learn about until recently. Kids today should have a class in high school or middle school that teaches you basic living, you know, realistic needs. And they don't.
Every kid should be a prepper to some degree, and there ought to be a modern survival mechanism out there for just survival in the modern world. You're right. I can't work on cars. I have no skill level, none whatsoever. My car breaks down, I open the hood, and I stand there going, like this, and my hands on my hip, until somebody comes around that does know how, and then I basically am honest with them and said, look, go ahead and rip me off. Just make it run again. And that's pathetic. And it's cost me untold tens of thousands of dollars over the year. So you are correct, ma'am. Just wondering what you folks out there are teaching your kids and would love to hear from you. You can actually go to JeffStylesAmerica.com or to FredPodcast.com. Or if they wanted to contact the station, the radio station that I work for, Jen, how would they contact this radio station and get a message to me as to what they teach their kids?
Probably the best way is to just call me, and the number is 423-635-3557.
What is that number again?
It is 423-635-3557.
And you will dutifully deliver that message?
Absolutely, I will.
The other way, though, is listen between 7 and 9.
You're absolutely correct, sir. All the way from 7 to 10. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. What are you getting off early? Now, but I mean, these things. Do your kids know what to do when the lights go out at the house? Do your kids know what to do if they suddenly find themselves swept up in floodwaters because they're trying to cross a creek when the water is flowing over the road? Do they know what to do if they're going down recreating on a whitewater river and they get thrown out of the raft? Do they know what to do when it's cold and it's about, oh, say 34 degrees and rain outside and they have no shelter? Do they have any idea what to do when they go to a bad neighborhood and there's nothing they can do except walk through it? Do they know how to act like somebody who knows what the hell they're doing? You need to educate your kids on stuff that happens in real life. That's all I got today. And I hope you take this to heart, and I would like for you to give it some thought and get back to me in any way, shape, or form possible. Smoke signals, possibly. I don't know. You know, semaphore, just, you know, clackety-clack-clack like the Navy used to do. Whatever it works, get it back to me because I'd like to be able to share that with everybody else later. Thank you for listening.